This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this is the best TV shows of 2018.
Our best TV shows of 2018.
See, I like how you always correct me on that.
Yeah.
So
I seen that when you said the right. best movies.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it this way. All right. So obviously we didn't watch every movie and we haven't seen every TV show. You know,
but if anybody wants to ever hire me for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be happy to... David, hire Johnny. Anyway. But yeah. All right. Well, hey, Merry Christmas. We're back from Christmas. Happy New Year. If you're
we're going into the new year.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of David, I got to hang out with him last weekend.
Right.
From recording this. It was very cool. I met his family. They were all very nice. Happy birthday to his sister, Kelly, whose birthday is today. So
what is today?
The 27th.
Okay.
So everybody,
you have to do that when you say I know, today.
So. As of recording. So yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk about the shows that we enjoyed the best. I am surprised there wasn't more crossover.
I haven't watched much TV.
And then I remembered you said that.
Yeah.
Because when we were talking about this after we recorded last week, you were like, I only have five. And I was like, I have way more than five. Because
I mean, I've watched enough TV, but nothing like that made me go, ooh.
Yeah. And you haven't even seen my list yet. So
I can see it from
here. Well, I mean, you can see it now, but you didn't see it going in. But
it was like mostly stuff I expected. So
yeah. I mean, it's stuff we've talked about throughout the year too. So, all right, you want to get started?
Sure.
Okay, so let's start with one of the shows. Actually, the show that came back on my birthday this year, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. The first season was amazing. I watched it in a day when it came out. What was that? Was that in 2017? Did it come out?
It was last December.
Yeah. So last December. Rachel Brosnahan. Love her. She's awesome.
I think it was Brosnahan.
This season had the addition of Chuck Bartowski himself, Zachary Levi.
Cameo, what we call it.
Well, he was in more than one episode.
He was in more than one episode, but it was like 5 minutes for each
episode.
They
used him really well.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's just the guy. But this is this formula that they use, like especially this season, was more formulaic to if you watched Gilmore Girls.
Okay, see, and I did not.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I didn't watch Gilmore Girls because I have anything against
Zachary
it.
Zachary Levi was a MacGuffin.
Absolutely. I was really happy to see Midge and Susie's relationship progress the way it did.
Yeah.
And I was really, really happy to see Midge and Lenny Bruce's relationship progress the way it did.
Right.
Which is just going to be all the more heartbreaking, spoiler alert,
if
when he dies.
If it goes that far.
I mean, I assume it's going to have
This season was 1959.
So, and he died in 1965-ish.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if they go that long.
So, well, I think maybe they'll do a jump or whatever, but. Who knows?
I don't think they'll do a jump.
So, because they picked up pretty much right where last season left off.
Right, yeah.
I will say for me, the highlight of the season is Susie and the plunger.
The plunger
should definitely be nominated for an Emmy Award.
The Catskills episodes.
So, yeah, even afterwards, she had plunger with her the whole time. But the Catskills episodes were way better than I expected them to be.
Best episode of the season was when they did the on the road thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to Paris was really funny.
That was great. That was like crazy.
That's why it was so funny.
I liked that they focused on her parents for a few episodes.
Yeah.
And I liked that they kind of focused on Joe and his family for a little bit.
Yeah.
And didn't make it all about her, even though the
Joe,
name of the show.
Joel. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no. The whole thing with her, the reveal with her brother.
Mr. Maisel. Yeah.
The reveal with her brother was great.
So off the wall too,
which is what made it great. So
well, I mean, Tony Shalhoub can play over the top like really well.
Oh yeah.
And it comes off like so like honest that you're like, yeah, I feel bad for him too.
Well, and when he gets put in his place.
Yes.
That was the one of the best parts.
But I've been where he's been before. Who like hasn't? Just yeah. you know, job and that. It's just fun watching Tony Shalhoub eat the scenery.
Just be Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak was great this season. Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
Well, and the ladies that play their wives.
Well, yeah.
I love them too. It is. It's. I can see like echoes of Gilmore Girls in it, but it's like more like, you know, original because it's a more family.
So I feel like the first season, it was definitely focused on Midge for a reason. Yeah. And this season, it was much more of an ensemble.
Yeah. I will tell you that finale was a Gilmore Girls episode.
Yeah.
When she is given the choice she's given and does what she does at the very end of the episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that just felt like a Gilmore Girls.
I mean, why wouldn't she do that, though?
Well, you know.
I mean, where she's going in the what the advice she was given about, you know, if you want to do this. And you if you want to do stand
horns,
up,
pretty much.
You have to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
And she said, okay.
Yeah.
Like she said, okay, this is what I want to do. And then she had that choice to make the sacrifice or not. And, you know, spoiler. But in typical Midge fashion, she stepped up.
Yeah.
So
we'll see where it goes.
This show, as far as Amazon. I'm very critical of like the look and feel of the Amazon shows, right? Like as much as I like Man in the High Castle, I think it looks cheap.
No, it looks dark.
Yeah,
it like just, it should because it's like, it's more noirish. It's more.
But a lot of this stuff just looks like they're on a set, right? Where
I guess, but it, I mean, just, they don't,
I don't know. Like
they
you look
shoot,
at
like not on sets though.
Well, which is the problem because right. like Stranger Things. Is a dark show, right?
Yeah.
And like, not just subject matter, but it's because right. most of it happens at night. And, like, at the same time, like, you look at that and it's like, okay, that's like the real world. It's obviously a set, but, like, well, it's not. And the, so, I don't know. It's just
kind of like you can't compare those two, though, because a lot of Man in the High Castle takes place in cities.
Right.
So, yeah, the backgrounds are all blue screens.
So, but this show just looks so good. It's a world that's lived in. It's a world that's recognizable. You know it's New York.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they shoot. I think they shoot in Atlanta, but, you know, still. It's one of those things.
They shoot in New York, too. Because, I mean.
Well, some of it, yeah.
Some of those streets are like, you know, you can't not shoot in New York if you're doing a story in New York.
But I love. I just.
The row houses alone.
I love the look and feel of. The show. And then the last thing is I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Jane Lynch this season.
She was fun.
She's a psychopath and it's awesome.
Yeah, she was fun. It was cool seeing Rufus Sewell.
Yeah.
In an episode.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he took a break from Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, he was he just walked across the street.
Yeah, literally.
So all right, what do you wanna which one do you got next?
Oh, my first one's This Is Us. Well, I guess we both had that. We have both had Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, so
I watched
both
seasons this year. So.
Right.
This Is Us.
Okay.
I think it was on my list last year too.
Yeah, it was. It was on my list last year. It did not make the cut for me this year. Not that I haven't lost like fandom in the show or anything like that. It's still good. Yeah. It's just as far as what I have here, like this is the stuff I enjoyed more.
Okay.
But why did it make your list?
I just enjoyed the show on a whole. I mean, you know. I'm a fan of Milo's, yeah. So and Mandy Moore and
I'll be honest, like watching it
Justin
makes
Hartley.
Me.
I like Justin Hartley.
I like Justin Hartley a lot too. He's in Bad Moms Christmas, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Hilarious. Okay. He is hilarious. It makes me wish watching this season though makes me wish they kind of just followed Jack through Vietnam for a whole season and like said piss off to the rest of the characters for a while. Like that's the parts I've enjoyed the most. And then going back out
enough there.
Well, you're right. There probably isn't, which is why they're not doing it.
I mean, you know, it's the same as like any explanation for any Star Trek episode where it's like, you know, it happened. That's the cool thing that happens. And then there's just a lot of, you know, flying through space, pushing buttons.
Yeah.
type thing. Right.
But I mean, that's also the neat thing about this show is that they're able to go through so many things. And then I do like how they're now looking forward to Randall's kids.
Yeah.
Being older, which was neat.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a thing that they need to do.
And then.
And we'll find out. The cool thing about foreshadowing this story is you get to see what might happen with characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Well, you see the end, and it's like, okay, how did they get there? Which is, what's the journey to that that finale? I will say in the last episode when Beth is watching the dancers and she's up on that balcony there, total supervillain looking feel to her. It's like, but you know she's not a bad person because she's awesome, and right. Beth is one of my favorite characters. But at the same time, it's really funny because it's like, if Edna Mode went bad,
right,
that's what she would look like.
Yeah, it definitely was one of those things where it's like, curious to see where that goes.
Yeah.
But it's set up too in the episode.
Yeah, it's total setup. Anyway, but yeah, anything else to add?
No. I mean, it's in the middle of the season right now. Yeah. It's on break. So it's like, you know, I'm curious to see.
I think it comes back just
goes.
After the new year too.
Oh, yeah, so. It usually does. It comes back. Well, last year it was Super Bowl.
Right.
So it came back in February.
But the Super Bowl's not on NBC this year. So.
Yeah. So. We'll see.
Yeah. It's been a good episode. It's been a good episode. It's been a
good
season.
They might put it on the Super Bowl anyways. Put it up against the Super Bowl.
That would be. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? All right.
Other shows have done it.
Yeah. All right. So.
Cloverfield Paradox.
Come on. So my next one is, it was on my list last year. It's Atlanta. Season 2 came out. Again, this show. Donald Glover and his brother are so awesome writing and producing and directing most of the episodes on the show.
But I thought it was good.
The funny thing is this season was called Robin Season, which is apparently a thing in Atlanta where like it gets warm and people break into houses and steal shit. The thing that I continue to love about this show is while it's an ensemble, another ensemble cast, right? They will pluck a character just out of the group and do an episode to focus on him or her, which is just a lot of fun.
I feel like most shows are doing that now because, you know, This Is Us does it.
It does,
where a character in one episode will be the main focus, and you'll see some of the other characters, but not the whole cast.
So, like, the one character, and this was, like, the controversial episode, Darius is going to buy a piano or something, and it's the episode where Donald Glover was in whiteface.
Oh, is that why it was controversial?
Yeah. Okay. And so he was.
See, I didn't even hear about that.
It was so creepy.
Probably because I don't care about that stuff. I mean,
like, they didn't say it was Donald Glover, and to be honest, you couldn't really tell until the end when.
Did they do straight up makeup?
Dude,
or?
It's like a full on like prosthetic.
So they kind of did
like
what Eddie Murphy did on Saturday Night Live, where he dressed as a white guy and. Went on buses and interacted with people.
But I mean, he had a nose and lips and all that. And like, he was in a wheelchair. It was kind of like Michael Jackson as well.
I'd be curious to see that.
It's really, really good. And the whole time you're thinking, oh my God, Darius is getting killed. It was really good.
See, that's the problem is because we've watched so much like Sons of Anarchy, Breaking Bad type stuff. Now we think somebody's going to get killed and stuff all the time.
So.
I mean,
you sit there and you hope he's not. And it's like, okay, how is he going to get out of it?
Right.
So it was, like I said, the whole season was really good. Zazie Beetz had an episode where her and Donald were at her family. She's German.
Okay.
And she's in the Lederhosen, and her sister's in the Lederhosen, and they're at this thing. And you know, Ernst just being an ass.
Okay.
It was a great episode. There's an episode where Paperboy is trying to get – he gets – held up and the guy takes his car.
All right.
And then there's and then he's walking back.
It's because it is Robin season. Yeah. A lot of crazy shit goes down there.
So like he's walking back, he gets beat up, like he gets jumped by fans.
It's kind of like Devil's Night in Detroit. Kind of.
And then in the last episode they're going on tour and Earn accidentally has a gun in his bag when they go to the airport and he throws it in the bag of like a rival rapper.
Oh.
Thinking like, all right, cool. This guy's going to get thrown off the tour. And the guy's manager like totally took the bullet for him. And you know, Paper was like, that's a manager right there. Like it was really cool. It was just a great season. super well written, super well acted. Again, it just looks really cool.
Well, that one is actually shot in Atlanta.
Yeah, shot in Atlanta. So, like I said, that's a really cool one. All right, what do you got next?
I haven't watched the whole series yet, but I started watching Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I've heard good things. Yeah, I haven't gotten to that one yet. It's on my list.
It's dark.
Yeah, it is dark.
Because, you know, it's the actual, like, based off of the comic book where it's more horror than it is Archie.
Well, you saw they got sued for IP infringement for one of the
statues. The image of Satan that's the goat.
Yeah.
And that, and it, I mean, they use it throughout the episodes.
But I guess the altar is like
one of the altars looked similar to what, you know, a church had. But I'm like, you know, that means that every time Jesus shows up on a show, does the Vatican sue somebody? You know, does whoever sue somebody? It's one of those things where it's a religious iconography. Ah, can't get that word out.
Iconography.
Yeah. But I mean, it's based off of everything that's throughout history.
Sure, yeah. No, I get it. I just thought it was funny that
it's cool because it's like, I mean, everybody's good on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda Otto and what's her name from Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot?
No. His secretary.
Oh, I don't know the actress's name.
I forget her name, but they're Sabrina's aunts.
Oh, cool.
And then the lady who played Missy on Doctor Who, Michelle Gomez.
Oh, yeah.
Is playing a dark character, too.
Okay.
So it's like just a lot of like really good actresses.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the supporting cast is just a good supporting cast. Bronson Pinchot playing the principal of the school.
That's cool.
And they do some crazy stuff to him in the few episodes I watch where I'm like, oh, man. It's like he's brave.
He's not doing the Dance of Joy.
They do some stuff with some spiders to him that I'm like, yeah, most people would freak out. So,
does she have the talking cat? Like the
so she's
TGIF
allergic
show?
To cats in real life.
Okay.
She and I forget her name, but she was on Mad Men. She played Don Draper's daughter, Annette, and she's a really good actress. Like you could see from Mad Men till now where she's evolved. But I was reading because he's there, the cat's there, but they're called familiars.
Yeah.
Like witches and warlocks.
I think that's what they call
witches,
them.
Witches, warlocks, and wizards all use familiars, which are their animal familiar, and that, and they choose who their animal is going to be. And I was reading like the behind-the-scenes stuff about the show like up to that point without any kind of spoilers. And the cat's there, but they're never really in the same scene together because she's allergic to cats. At one point, they thought about changing him to a dog. Salem.
Oh, that's Salem,
Salem. They had thought about changing him to a dog.
That's funny.
And then I'm like, that would have been kind of cool. Like a black dog.
Nice little take on it. Yeah.
Yeah, but like the cat shows up when she really needs it.
Okay.
Like, it's literally a familiar. Like what a familiar does is, you know, protects the witch or wizard.
Yeah. Hey, I need your help. Oh, here I am.
Yeah, there's like a cool sequence in a corn maze that like gets out of hand with a bad guy and the cat shows up at just the right moment. And you see, because you see the familiar, the way they shoot it, like when stuff is dark and magic type stuff, some of it's blurred.
Okay.
So at one point when you first see Salem, it's the familiar, it's the actual demon that becomes the cat.
Oh, cool.
And he's in the like shadows and that, but when he shows up in the corn maze, you see his shadow.
Oh, so he's like Tekel.
Yeah.
Like Clarion's.
Yeah. Familiar. Yeah, well, that's what that is familiar.
Right,
yeah.
But like, you know, because Tekel
turns
into
that,
like,
there's something else there
besides humanoid-looking
it's not
like,
a
cat creature.
It's not a cat. It's a demon.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that I've enjoyed it so far. Yeah. It's one where I have to watch it in doses because it's like a
it's
lot
so
of story.
Dark.
Well, it's a lot of story to like just, you know, gel.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right, so my next one is the final season of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Did you watch?
Maybe,
you're behind. You're way
not.
Behind. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
not.
Maybe not.
How about the final Netflix season?
Yeah.
So,
I haven't watched Iron Fist. I haven't watched
season two of Iron Fist.
Yeah, like I haven't watched season two of Iron Fist. I haven't watched season two of Luke Cage.
Have you watched anything since The Defenders?
I watched Jessica Jones.
Okay.
And
so that, yeah. So you're.
It was kind of disappointing.
Three behind.
Yeah.
This season was great. That's
when I got to get a tickle for that type of stuff now.
I'll be honest. I liked this season a little better than the second season.
Okay.
And we both agreed
the second
on
season Punisher,
the Punisher. Yeah.
Right.
And it was kind of a Matt getting back to his roots. It was Matt not wanting to be Matt Murdock, just embracing the devil of Hell's Kitchen side of himself.
Well, right.
And then the whole Catholic guilt thing where he stopped wearing the suit and he went back to
the black
ninja. So
does it acknowledge
ninja.
What happened in Defenders?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and then Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Wow. And then the whole...
I seen the preview and I was like, oh, cool, Bullseye's in it. I'll watch that one.
The whole
sure.
Kingpin arc is great. And then everything
with
Vanessa.
Vincent D'Onofrio posted on Twitter to Taiki Awatiti.
No.
That,
we
haven't worked together yet. Yeah. So I'm okay. That's so interesting.
It was, I mean, just wow. And the fight choreography has always been good on the show. And it was another level, you know. And you've got this behind the scenes team that understands the character, runs with it in the right directions. The only misstep was there was an entire episode dedicated to Karen's backstory.
Oh, okay, wow.
And while
that's
the
bold.
The backstory was cool, right? Yeah. It's why she ended up in the city on her own. And I think the way I would have liked to have seen it is instead of doing it as one episode, it should have been the epilogue of every episode in a 5-minute chunk, like 3 to 5 minute chunk.
Oh, okay. I got
Just letting the story out slowly until you get to that like episode 8 or 9.
Right.
And you can like be like, okay, this is what it is. And then go into
the finale
10, 11, 12, 13, right, where you would get the payoff, because it did kind of frack with the flow.
Okay.
And again, I thought there were a few times where it's like, wow, they're gonna kill Karen, and it makes sense. Well, right, and it makes sense to kill Karen, and Bullseye is around and he could do it, and it would again make sense. And then Fulton as Foggy Nelson from the Mighty Ducks. What's his name?
I don't remember.
I always just call him Fulton from the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. It's like I always call Pacey Charlie Conway from the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, Josh Jackson.
Foggy was great this season.
Yeah.
Like, Foggy's turned into a really great character, where in the comics, he's always been interesting, but he's never been this likable and fun and awesome.
He's just been a background character.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Are you looking him up? It's like Elton something. So.
Yeah, I met him a few years ago.
And again, I want to talk about like the look and feel of the show. It's so dark and gritty. Like, do you remember NYPD Blue?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you watched any of that or not.
I watched it pretty much after Jimmy Smits was on. I watched it the whole time that Jimmy Smits was on there.
So, like, NYPD Blue at the time was like a really dark and gritty show. Elden Henson, yeah. Was a really dark and gritty show that was on network television. And this is like a very dark and gritty show that doesn't ever seem to cross a line of like, hey, we're going to pull you out of the aesthetic of this show.
Yeah.
You're in this world and this is what our world is and we're embracing it and it's dark. And sometimes there's shades of light that shine through.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of this show is just from a visual point of view is we're trying to have this character find the light that he so desperately needs to be the hero that he believes he should be, but the darkness keeps like dragging him down.
Right.
So.
Well, and this one doesn't have much of the hand.
No, the hand is done.
Right.
Like there's no.
Well,
so.
You know. So Scott Glenn's not in it at all.
Well, he died in the Defenders.
I know, but there's flashbacks. So.
Oh no, there's no.
No flashbacks.
There's a couple flashbacks with his dad.
Okay.
Which are cool. And then the whole thing with his mom.
Okay.
So and yeah, the other cool thing is with Bullseye.
Yeah.
He's just Dex. They never once call him Bullseye, which was perfect. And then there's a end mid-end credit scene that is really interesting because...
That matters not now.
Well, it matters because now the X-Men and Adamantium is back in the MCU to use. And, you know, Bullseye has the Adamantium spine and and some of his appendages have the Adamantium lacing on it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, like...
They might set something up.
This is set up for the Adamantium. It would be interesting if they maybe introduced an X character in the next season, but then they went and canceled it on Netflix. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's definitely worth watching. I am actually looking forward to going back and watching the three seasons just consecutively at some point over the next couple months. I'm also disappointed that they've decided to do Jake Gyllenhaal at... Well, not I'm not disappointed that Jake Gyllenhaal is Mysterio. I'm disappointed that we're not going to get Mysterio on Daredevil.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
You do another one. You've got more on
your list. Oh, sure. My next one is from HBO. It's called Barry.
Okay.
And it's Henry Winkler and... Oh, okay. Not Will Forte. What's his name? Stefan from Saturday Night Live. Bill Hader.
Hader.
And he is a hitman who inadvertently...
Oh, okay. I watched a preview for this thing.
So he's hired to kill a guy, and he inadvertently follows the guy into his acting class, makes friends with him.
Okay.
Then decides he wants to become an actor.
Okay.
And his life is totally out of control. He's can't deal with people. He meets a girl in acting class that he has a crush on and ultimately really likes.
Okay.
Henry Winkler is fantastic in this show.
That's what I've heard. Is like,
and he's there. So the guy he follows in ends up getting murdered by, I want to say, Armenians. Because Barry doesn't do it.
Right.
And then the police are trying to solve it. And the African-American detective, she's in charge of the case. Henry Winkler is just in love with her.
Okay.
And does not stop hitting on her. Like, you know, and he's this, you know, middling to fair actor who is like, you know, had some notoriety back in the day. And so he's like just
he play the Fonz?
No, that would have been awesome, though. And he's putting on the charm. Just the whole thing. And then. Again, middle of the season, there's some cool things that happen that are really dark and I don't want to spoil that really set up Barry for like who and what he's going to be as the show continues.
Okay.
Cool. So I'll do another one real quick since you only had five and I have like eight. The Good Place on NBC. I don't know if you watched this one with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson.
No, I haven't watched it. There's like a couple seasons on Netflix or...
All the seasons are on Hulu.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Okay. Up until, I think this is the third or fourth season, are on Netflix up until this current season.
Sure.
It's a place where these four people think they're in the good place. They're not in the good place. You learn this in the first episode. So.
Oh, okay.
So in this season, Ted Danson is trying to help them escape. Well, he has helped them escape the bad place.
Heaven and hell?
Yes. Okay. Well, so...
The concepts of heaven and hell, but not heaven and hell.
Well, so the whole idea is like none of the religions have it right.
Well, sure.
And one guy has gotten it close where it's all based on a point system for the things you do that are good and bad.
Ah, okay.
And so he's trying to get them to the good place.
Sure.
So he lets them go. He puts them back in their bodies moments before they die and then saves them. Then brings them together in the real world. And so it's just a really fun show. It's funny.
It's a comedy
really
version
well done.
Of Lost.
No. no, because they know they died and they, you know.
Well, I mean, the Lost thing only happened in the last season with them being dead. So.
Right.
But I mean, just the whole convolution of they were dead, we brought them back to life, but they're going to die again.
Well, there's that. Well, we don't know if they're going to.
They'll die eventually
because everybody dies. But, you know, will they die before they get enough points to be put back into the good or to make
well,
it into the
something
good
will show up because
so.
You know they upset the balance of the universe
well,
and all that.
There's a whole conspiracy going on because as of like the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anyone led into the good place in like 50 years.
Okay.
And so the bad place is actually doing something to mess with it. And the guy who figured out the system is played by Michael McKean.
Okay.
Which was really fun. So
that's cool.
Yeah. All right. What do you got next?
Well, I guess we'll do the crossover, Westworld.
Sure, Westworld. We did a whole episode about this.
Yep.
And I kept trying to talk about it for weeks before we did that. So,
you were trying to avoid talking about it for weeks.
I failed at it. Yeah. So.
So yeah. I mean, we talked about it. There, you know.
I loved the second season.
Looking forward to what's coming.
So, I actually, after we recorded our episode,
yeah,
I went back and I watched all 20 episodes in like 5 days.
Yeah.
And I think this is one that the second season was hurt by the long break. Because people didn't necessarily go back and watch rewatch the first season.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Because
that,
we had talked about that, and it's like, I'm not going to watch the first season again. I just watched the last episode before the season premiere.
I think that's a show where you can't just watch the last episode.
Right.
If you're going to watch, like, Game of Thrones is the same way, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
So. I mean, with me, most of it sticks in my head anyway, so, like, she'll go back and watch. Well, like, she's already gone back and watched the whole Game of Thrones, like, twice, I think.
So, what,
and
I'm like, April?
And I'll walk into the room and be like, oh, is this what's happening and this is what's going on? And she's like, yeah. She's like, how do you remember that? And I'm like, I just remember that stuff.
So I'll start my rewatch to align with the premiere probably in like 2 weeks. And
do they have a date? Like,
it's April something. Like,
I mean, like, have they told you when to start watching if you want to watch
one
episode?
No, that's not on. But like, I don't do one at a time. So
right,
You know, I'll do like a couple and then take a day off and do a couple and take a day off.
How's that going to mix with you're watching all the Marvel movies to build up to the end game?
I don't need to watch all the Marvel movies, man. So I'm trying to
think. Being sarcastic. So I really, because it does all stick in my head. Like,
I mean,
you know.
Ant-Man.
If it literally was pieces of stuff,
yeah,
and you rattled my head, stuff would fall out, and I'd be like, yeah, there it is,
there
right
it
there.
Is. Yeah. It's like in Lock and Key with the little fears.
Right.
Yours is just the memories.
I
of
said
the,
it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's just a guy up there pushing carts around.
The things that when they pull your memories out in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Dark City.
Dark, yeah. Shut it down. Anyway. Westworld is a fantastic, fantastic show, and with Dolores,
they pay off setup. That's the cool thing about this show.
Yeah,
is they pay off setup. So like, if something gets set up in the first season with like the Japan thing,
right,
with the samurais, it got paid off this season. So it's like next season, whatever's going on,
in the real
with Bill's daughter and that, it's going to get paid off, and it's like, you know, you know. That you're not going to be disappointed.
Right.
Because they do a good job of paying off what they set up.
Yes.
And that. And
so
they
good.
Don't. And the speculation, there's not like speculation on a lot of these shows is crazy. But on this show, they set it up so tightly. There's not a lot of speculation because you don't know what the hell happened at the end.
Right. All right. So my next one is Voltron.
Which is kind of on my list, but kind of not, because I haven't finished it yet.
I finished it today, actually.
Right.
And, wow.
We watched 8 episodes last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it's a great finale. Like, just, it's a great final season. Like I was telling you, it started a little slow for me.
Sure.
But I was never not on board.
Right.
So, there's that.
I like that they've, like, kept the whimsy episodes.
Oh yeah,
because it's like you could have went straight serious with this last season, and it's like the circus episode was fun.
The documentary episode was
fun.
Yeah,
the documentary episode was fun. That was cool because, I mean, you know, it's just like I called the guy a YouTuber.
Yeah,
because, you know, I watch a few YouTubers.
Right.
So I'm like, I literally look at her. I'm like, we're watching a YouTube episode right here.
Yeah.
And she's like, she literally agreed with me because
it was really so good,
spot on of a YouTuber video. And the dog was hilarious, grabbing the camera. Yep.
And they didn't even know the dog had the camera for as
long
as it did.
Yeah, I said they should have acknowledged somewhere in there that they went back and watched everything with the dog with the camera. Yeah.
That'd been
so great. It was fun.
So I don't want to say too much more until you see the end. Right. So, yeah. But as a whole,
yeah,
I put it just under, like, you know, like Avatar for me is
right. Yeah.
Like Avatar, Korra, top.
Sure.
Clone Wars, Rebels.
Yeah.
Then Voltron.
Okay.
So it's up there.
I mean, is there anything else really to compare to? Or?
Trolls, the Troll Hunter.
Ah, see, I haven't. Troll Hunter is
good. The Dragon, the How to Train Your Dragon cartoons are really good.
Yeah, I
good,
don't think
so,
I've not watched any of those.
I mean, I have an 11-year-old, so right. We watch lots of cartoons.
It's not that I won't. Don't, I can.
Oh,
watch
I know.
The old
trust
cartoons.
Me, I know. Yeah,
I started
watching
all the G.I. Joes. Like for a week, I watched every G.I. Joe movie that they had done.
Yeah.
And that I was just like, I don't care about watching episodes, but I'm like, I'll watch the movies all the time.
Let's be honest, shall we? The t-shirt thing isn't going away anytime soon, so you might as well get a garment with some backbone, yes? Well, here comes the Flying Pork Apparel Company to address all your shirty moments in life with honor and respect. Maybe we create a custom tee for your shirty office party or knock out some smashing jerseys for your shirty softball team. There's also plenty of wearable tee designs available on our website. Having said all that, have a shirty day and visit us at flyingporkapparel.com. That's flyingporkapparel.com.
Cool. All right, what do you have?
Oh, my last one?
Yeah.
Is The Haunting of Hill House.
Which I have not watched yet.
It's good.
I've tried to watch the first episode 3 times. And
the first episode is kind of hard, but you've literally got to pay attention to this show.
Right.
It's one, don't watch it where you're tired. Don't watch it when there's other people in the room.
And that's been the problem.
Unless they're going to be quiet, too.
Yeah.
And you got to watch for all the ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, there's ghosts. There's ghosts all over the place, isn't it? So, but it's good. Everybody in it's good. The kids are good. Henry Thomas, Carla Gugino.
Cool.
Are really great in it. The adult actors who play the kid. You know, the adult versions of the kids are really good. Timothy Hutton plays the older Henry Thomas.
I love Timothy Hutton, too.
Well, he's Henry Thomas as an older man. And it's like, you know, that was great. Just the whole thing. It's a solid story. It's a tight story.
Cool.
And every episode makes you go, what in
the
hell?
Awesome.
Yeah. There's some moments that are actually like really good jump scares in this show.
Oh, cool.
So it's like, you know, and it's not too gory. There's a little bit of gore. But like, I mean, just there's some heartbreaking episodes and everything. So
yeah, it's on my, like I said, I've tried and like you said,
it's one I
recognize I have to pay attention to, so I don't want
to
like start watching. But yeah, and you know,
this is one of those things where with Netflix, it's like, you know, there are a lot of hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like one that I just am like, this
they
is,
hit it out of
this,
the park.
They knocked it out of the park with this one. So, what was his name that produced it? Michael Flanagan or Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan.
So Mike Flanagan's done a good amount of horror stuff.
Okay.
And that he did the Gerald's Game movie.
Which was really we talked about that. I really like that.
So there's another one. It was on Netflix.
Is Carla Gugino in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in Gerald's Game too.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked.
And then she plays the mom in Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
But there's a movie, and I don't know if it's still on Netflix, called Hush.
Yeah.
That was really good, that he did.
Okay.
I
don't know if it's on there, but yeah, I know the movie.
And it's his wife, and she actually plays one of the adult children in this. He did Oculus.
Okay.
And that. So, you know, he's got a pretty solid background, and it's just like, you know, I need to still watch Oculus. I haven't watched Oculus, but I'm like, if he produces something else like that's going to be on Netflix, I'll be there
to
watch it.
Shot.
Yeah.
Cool.
The lead actor, the lead adult child is Dario Naharis.
Oh.
So like we're sitting there watching it and he has no beard. Like he's shaved. He's,
you mean Ajax?
Was he Ajax?
In Daredevil. Yeah.
Was he?
The first Dario or the second Dario?
Michael Huseman.
So.
That Dario.
Oh, he's the second Dario.
The second Dario. Yeah. So.
But, no. Okay,
yeah, we recognized him. Then.
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting there, and I'm like, man. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Cool.
Yeah. But he's great. Like, everybody knocked it out of the park in this.
Nice.
So it was one of those things where some of these actors I had never even heard of before. So I was like, cool.
Nice.
You know, you watched the movie with Chris Evans with the little girl.
Yeah.
She's in it.
The little girl.
The little girl.
She's awesome.
She's in it. And she's really great in it.
Yeah.
Too.
What is it? The Gifted or whatever?
Yeah. Her name's McKenna Grace.
I will say that movie with them. One. Gifted. Yeah. Gifted. Her and Chris Evans were great together. But Octavia Spencer and Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see a buddy cop movie where she's cool. His sergeant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And or better yet, like a comedy where they both work for Greenpeace and she's in charge and she's like the super militant like head.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who always kind of screws up and litters, you know, sort of a thing.
But yeah, this was just one of those ones where it was like, people were talking about it, and I'm like, it looks cool. It looked cool, and like, it's based off of a book. And
I've had a ton of people come up to me and be like, you need to watch this. And
it's one of those things where Stephen King even was like, this is like a really good adaptation of the story, because it's been adapted.
Is this a Stephen King story?
No. Forget her name, but like, it's been adapted 2 times, I think. One was the movie The Haunting with Liam Neeson. And
I never watched that one.
Yeah,
I always like when people come up to me with stuff like this, right? People who kind of tangentially know me at work or things like that. They're like, oh, I have this show. You should watch it. And I'm always like, is it The Haunting of Hill House? And they're like, yes. I said, I don't like horror, but I'm going to check it out at some point.
And
they're like, what do you mean you don't like horror?
I don't even want to like.
I think it's horror. I think it's more like
they put
thriller
it in a horror category, but it's like
it's supernatural suspense.
It's a supernatural thriller type thing, and you know, I mean, it's based off of a book, so it's just one of those things where it's like really well done.
Yeah.
Like
I said,
he
I'm
adapted
check it out.
The story really well. Shirley Jackson was the person who wrote the original story, and
cool.
It says she was a horror mystery writer, like in the '50s.
Okay.
She died in 65.
Ah.
Stephen King's a fan.
Yeah.
And that. So he was
it's probably an influence on
it. Yeah. And it was one of those things where he was like, this is a really like well done show and good adaption and all that. And I'm like, Stephen King recommends a horror thing. You might want to check it out.
Very cool.
So yeah, that's pretty much all I watched this year.
Yeah. All right. So I have 2 left.
I watched Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Jessica Jones was just okay.
Yeah.
Like
one of the ones on your list was just okay to me.
So Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Just okay. It was Amazon.
Well acted. Yeah.
We talked about this just a tiny bit earlier this year.
My thing about that show is I watched Homeland, and it's just like, you know, putting Jack Ryan in this modern time.
So
this was kind of like,
it's a safer version of Homeland.
Yeah.
It doesn't take nearly the risks that Homeland took early on. I felt like while I mean, I love this. I watched through it a second time.
Sure.
And actually, everything on my list I've watched through, except for the final season of Voltron, just because I finished it today.
Right.
At least twice.
Okay.
And I say at least twice because I've watched my last thing I've probably watched 4 times.
Finished watching Marvelous Maisel a couple of days ago. Westworld, the only thing I went back and watched was the finale again.
Okay.
Because I was just like, there's things in the finale where you're like, you got to go back and pay attention.
Yep. So with Jack Ryan, I felt it got off to a weird start when it was like he was Jim from The Office in the pilot.
Yeah, you said that.
And so by the end, though, it's like I fully bought in with him as someone who is a capable field agent for the CIA.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that made me happy.
It's like, we see these stories all the time now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, the Arabian terrorist.
Right.
And that. I'm just like, you know, there's other things going on in the world.
Yeah, Libyans.
Yeah, well, I mean, China and
Russia.
Know, Russia, any of that
there's
stuff.
There's all sorts of
so
issues.
So I'm like,
going
you know,
on.
That kind of thing was like kind of, you know, I was just like,
again,
this
like
is,
I said, it was safe. They didn't do anything like if it would have been like a Spanish terror cell. And I knew some of it took place in Spain and in France. And that sort of stuff. But like, great. Make them from Barcelona, like a group of kids from Barcelona who decided to wreak havoc on the world. Not the Arab kid that watched his house get bombed by a drone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the whole thing. I'm like, oh, this is just another one of those where...
But I did, but speaking of the drone pilot, like, yeah. his break into madness was really cool.
Yeah, that was more interesting to me than the whole Jack Ryan part of the story. And I hope with the next season that since him and Greer are going to be in Russia, that they tie a little bit of the Hunt for Red October type stuff to it and, you know, have a younger Marco Ramiro show up and that, and, you know, maybe he works with them to solve something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like, if you're going to use Jack Ryan and you're going to use Greer,
don't just make new
bring
stuff.
Bring in characters
like adapt.
And adapt the characters from the other stories.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the one guy I kept thinking was Clark, the guy that William Dafoe
which was
plays.
Not Clark.
And I'm like, oh, it's not Clark? I'm like, well, that's kind of disappointing.
It was sad.
Yeah.
It would have been great if he was
like, if they would have just said that his real name was Clark at some point, and I would have been like, cool, we could go by any name he wants. Yeah. That's Clark.
What do I call you? Yeah. Well, my friends call me Clark.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that. Right. No, I agree. But at the same time, I did really enjoy this, and I thought this was one of the again, better looking Amazon shows.
Oh, I thought it looked great. That was shot well, and I think
they took the John Hammond approach.
A lot of international.
Spared no expense.
Well, they went a lot of international on it. So, I mean, France looked like France because it was shot in France.
The other thing is this just makes me want him as Mr. Fantastic more and more.
Yeah.
Like, he's cerebral. He's action oriented. He's likable. He's caring. Like, he can ignore you. Like, you know, all the things
he's
that Reed
funny.
Richard does.
I mean,
yeah.
he's got the funny part down, too. So it's like, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he was really good in it. I thought everybody did a really good job. It just was like, stop using the, you know, Arabian terrorist type cells. It's like, there's other things going on in the world.
There are. You're right. You were right about that. But it still made my list of top TV shows. All right. So my last one, this was my absolute favorite show of the year.
Okay.
Cobra Kai.
Okay.
I
have not watched.
You don't? Do you do YouTube Premium?
No.
Oh, it's so one, not to have to watch commercials.
Yeah.
Is worth $10 a month, hands down. This show was so much fun. Billy Zabka killed it.
He's killed a cool guy.
You've met him a couple times.
Yeah.
You know
him, and I've met Ralph Macchio too, and that. And my question is this, and I don't want to be spoiled because I do want to watch it. Does Martin Cove show up at any point?
I'm not telling you anything about that. All right. So the thing is this is the punchline.
Does Pat Morita show up at any point in the
show?
Yes. CG Pat Morita.
They wheel his coffin out. Anyway, this is the punchline of the Barney Stinson joke from How I Met Your Mother. Because he refers to the Karate Kid when they're talking about John Lawrence. Like,
oh, okay.
When he's like, that damn Daniel LaRusso came to town and bullied John Lawrence, you know.
Yeah,
like there's
a
whole
joke about that.
There are several episodes dedicated to Daniel LaRusso being the bully and Bill Lawrence, or John Lawrence being the Karate Kid. And one, he's a scumbag, right?
Oh,
John is a scumbag.
Right.
Yet you love him and you root for him. And then Miguel, the kid he gets to train, will forever be my Karate Kid from now on.
Okay.
Like, Miguel was awesome.
It's not Hilary Swank?
Well, I mean, she's second.
Yeah.
And then
Jaden Smith?
Yeah. He's like 50th out of four. So then Daniel LaRusso's daughter.
Oh,
right.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
She's the villain of this story.
Okay.
Right. She ends up Miguel stands up for her at some point and they kind of start a little thing. And she kind of starts a little thing with Johnny's son.
Johnny,
it's a whole
a son too?
Romeo and Juliet thing. And
she's
like, well, which one is she leading on?
Sure.
And then there's a thing that happens between the two of them. And it's all her fault.
Oh, yeah.
And all she has to do is be like, hey, look, this is what happened. Just be honest. And she's not honest with anybody.
Okay.
And so, but they kind of end it where they're kind of like, all right, she's going to be kind of the focal
point.
So
they said
but she's
second
an asshole.
Season's happening?
Or? Oh, yeah. It's, okay. I don't know if it's done filming, but like, oh, okay. it's in the works. It's in the process of being put out.
I just think it's nice to, like, this show came out of nowhere pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
But it was nice to see, like, Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka back.
The scenes, like, with the two of them,
nice guys,
the
so.
Scenes with the two of them together are yeah. great. There is a scene where some guys try to do harm to Johnny.
Yeah.
And he gets out of it.
Yeah.
And rolls up to the Macchio, to the LaRusso estate, essentially, yeah. on a motorcycle. And he's like, do you want to go? And he's like, yeah, I want to go. Like, and like, there's three or four times where they almost have that Rocky Apollo yeah. moment where they go at it, like, after the fact. And like, they teased it so well. And the fact that they had the balls not to do it.
Yeah.
Is what made it great.
Because they both would have been like, oh, my back.
There's a no, I mean, because like, they're like, you know,
I know,
there's the whole thing.
They're old. So.
There's a great scene where he's trying to get Cobra Kai back into the All Valley, and they ask him about Terry Silver.
Oh, really?
And he's like, I don't know who that is. Like, because yeah. he doesn't. He wasn't involved with Cobra Kai at that point. Right. And so it's there's a ton of great callbacks.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're doing their own mythology building.
Sure, yeah.
And it was just so much fun.
I mean, there's enough there to use, but enough like that you can.
Yeah.
We'll wait for Hillary Swank to show up.
Well, they've said nothing's off limits, so she very well could. Like,
I'm sure she'd be willing to come back because that's pretty much what put her on the yeah. map. So,
Mike from the third one, like yeah. he needs to show up at some yeah. point. Terry Silver showing up would be yeah. great. Like, you know, I don't know what that guy's doing.
Jaden Smith.
No.
I'm totally.
No. Why? Why?
Because they have to do remakes every year now.
But yeah. as far as, like, just revisiting the universe, this has been great. Like, Mrs. LaRusso, Daniel LaRusso's mom, like, you know, she's in
up?
It.
Okay.
Like, and the, like, her versus Daniel's wife.
Yeah.
Is great. Daniel's wife is the lady that played Sheldon's twin sister on The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
That was
okay.
the thing I knew yeah. her, like, not knew her from, but that was, right. like, when I looked at her IMDb, that was one of the,
was
the big
Elizabeth
temples.
Was it Elizabeth
Shue? Well, and they mentioned her.
Oh.
And there's talk that she might show
oh,
up.
That'd
so.
Be cool.
But yeah,
you know, I think it'd be cool if they can get as many
yeah
like,
as many people
back.
As they can.
Yeah.
So
joking about the Jaden Smith part, but
I know, yeah. I know. But
Jackie
I mean,
Chan
Jackie Chan
up
more than
Mr.
welcome.
Miyagi,
yeah.
You know.
So
I mean, if they wanted to do that, yeah. but I would just let that rest.
No, yeah, that's alternate timeline. Yeah. That's one of the timelines that Hagar is trying to destroy and
oh.
Voltron.
Is that like Tokyo so. Drift? Was the that could have been considered an alternate timeline until Han shows up in those movies.
But I love Tokyo Drift.
Well, Tokyo Drift's a good movie, so. But I mean, it's an alternate type
I know,
of
I know.
Fast
I'm,
and Furious.
I'm just giving you a hard
Even
time.
Even with Ving Rhames or Ving or Vin Diesel, showing up.
With his cameo at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it still so. Was one of those ones where it's like, this could just be its own movie. Yeah.
Oh, real quick, Voltron. Watch till the very end of the credits of the last episode.
Yeah.
So,
I would,
but I typically,
yeah,
you know, give up. All right. So
yeah, every season ending's done something
yeah,
like that.
Right.
So,
all right. So that's our favorite shows.
Thank you.
Of the year.
Our favorite shows.
Yes. That's the best shows of the year. Hands down.
Somebody would argue with you.
I'm sure somebody yeah. will because I don't have anything from CBS.
You haven't watched
there.
Star Trek Discovery.
No, but David gave me a $25 gift card for CBS All Access for Christmas as a, hey, it's time to watch this now.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then real quick before we go, best movies of the year was last week. I want to add Bumblebee to my list, kind of post-mortem.
Yeah.
I had a blast with the kid watching
Did
that movie.
Did you see Aquaman at all? Or?
No, not yet. I told you, I got a ton of like movie
sure,
gift cards
yeah.
for Christmas. So it's like, oh,
well,
I'll actually go
because,
see
like, we
Aquaman
went on
in the
Monday
theater.
And seen all those movies and the yeah. times like worked out where we were out. And then
yeah, because you did Mary
freaking
Poppins.
Freaking Bumblebee ended and yeah. Aquaman had started like 10 minutes before. And I'm like, dang
now,
on, man.
Did it start 10 minutes before or was it like 10 minutes past when the previews would be over?
It
would
have been the previews would have been over when we came
oh.
out because it had started at
yeah.
The, yeah. So it was like, I just was like, yeah, we'll see it.
Are you working Saturday?
Oh, I got to go somewhere. So
oh, okay.
I got plans.
Oh, fine. Be that way.
Yeah.
I have plans. Ooh, look at me.
Plans. I'm an important person.
That is true. Yeah. You're very, very, very important. But the Bumblebee, the G1 stuff is great. On Cybertron.
Everything was cool with that.
But as much as that stuff was awesome, the actual story of this movie was so good. And you could tell when it was Bumblebee versus the two triple changers.
Yeah.
The entire time. At no point did you be like, wait, which triple changer is he fighting right now?
Like, they, you could tell who everybody was.
Travis Knight, the director of this movie, did such a good job by differentiating the characters.
Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
And Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell that was Justin Theroux. No. Like, I seen him in the cast, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I went back and looked to see who he was, and I'm like, no way. I'm like, it didn't even sound like him.
No.
Angela Bassett sound like
him. Yeah, oh, yeah.
When she keeps calling the one friend. Guy that works for Sector, friend. Yeah. And like, and eventually that doesn't happen. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know when things are going bad.
And he was Braga in the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, I love it when he comes and plays whimpering.
Yeah.
Because like, he was a badass in the Fast and Furious movies. But when he plays whimpering, that's awesome. I loved John Cena.
John Cena was really
John
good.
John Cena was so good. And they
used him just enough.
Like, and he'll be back overused. In the franchise, which will be great in the whole. And then they left it open to be like, okay, we can seg into the Bayverse if we want to, or we can just pretend like that shit never happened.
Yep.
And reintroduce Jazz.
Yeah, they didn't show him, so.
Nope. Yeah, Haley thought Wheeljack was Jazz, and I was like, you're not my kid.
Yep, that's Wheeljack.
We can't be related anymore.
Well, I mean, you go look at the cast list, it tells who all they are.
Yeah, I know.
I was happy to see RC. RC that was awesome.
She looked great, too.
Yep.
So, all right. On
poor Cliff Jumper,
dude.
Well, and,
dude, no, I'm not even gonna spoil it, but dude, poor Cliff Jumper.
Well, in Prime, in the Transformers Prime,
oh yeah,
bad stuff happens to him in that too, and I'm like,
and he was voiced by The Rock.
Jumper? It's like you hurt the Cliff Jumper
because he's a Bumblebee. He's like the homeless man's version of Bumblebee.
The poor man's version.
No, the homeless man's
version. Homeless man
version. He's not even good enough to be the poor man's version of Bumblebee.
He's got cool horns on his head. And that.
Yeah, I get it. So, yeah. Well, Bumblebee had the horns in the... Anyway.
I like that he had a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish they would have left the voice. I get why they didn't, but, you know...
Because they might have to tie it into the Bayverse.
Well, if they have to tie into the Bayverse, but also the comedy.
He was a producer.
I know, but the comedy that came along with him not speaking. And
I love the tip of the hat to the E.T. thing.
Yeah, Haley Sewell.
Oh, yeah.
She killed it.
Yeah.
Like, as good as she was as Spider-Gwen, she was even better in this. Yep. So, all right. On that note, we will be back. It'll be next year by the time we're back listening. So, Happy New Year.
What year?
2019, I do believe.
Okay.
So, any last words?
Nope.
All right. So go watch Cobra Kai. It's awesome.
Nope is my last word.
The last words of the year from Johnny is
nope.
All right. On that note, we'll see you guys later.
Bye. Later.
I thought your last word was supposed to be nope.
Nope.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.